Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Southfield, Michigan, earned a bachelor's degree in general studies from Oakland University. From 2010 to 2015, he was the party chairman for the Michigan Republican Party. In 1976, he joined his dad, Jerry, at the Shostak Brothers and Company, and today he serves on its board. Founded in 1920, it's a leading commercial real estate business that operates commercial properties in 24 states. Since 2015, he's been the founder of the Templer Baker Group, a national political and business consulting firm. His name, Bobby Shostak. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to the famous Bobby Shostak. Bobby, what an honor, welcome.
Well, it's great to be here with you, Jack, thank you.
Let's start by going back, Southfield, Michigan, your childhood, your mom and your dad.
Great. So, you know, born in 1956 in Detroit, went from Oak Park to Southfield in three homes growing up. Great parents. Dad had a lot of Jerryisms, as we call them, teaching us what was life was about and how he expected us to conduct ourselves. Three younger brothers, often referred to it as four kids, 5.5 years. It was World War III every day. And with that, we learned a lot of lessons from Mom and Dad.
What's the biggest lesson you learned from Mom and the biggest you learned from Dad?
Dad's was mostly, I'd say, the importance of family, family glue, relationships, knowing who we were, conducting ourselves the way we would expect others to treat us. Mom was very loving, very engaging, gave us a lot of flexibility and a lot of confidence. And as a result, it was a really nice balance to kind of our dad, who was, you know, more of a regimented guy and had high expectations in terms of behaviors and so forth.
Your grandfather, Louis Shostak, of Ukrainian descent, was a rabbi. And then he switched professions. What happened?
So my grandfather immigrated here in early 1900s with his siblings and mother from Ukraine because of the Russian pogroms that were forced upon the Jewish community, and came here as a young boy, got educated in Milwaukee initially, and somehow got to Detroit. His father was an Orthodox rabbi, meaning very religious. And he ended up going to rabbinical school in Cincinnati at a Reform temple training, which means a more moderate, you know, background, and was considered an early believer in Zionism. And at the same time was had opinions on what the lectures, the sermons ought to be. And ultimately, he felt that it wasn't for him. He left before finishing rabbinical school and met his brother in Detroit and started a business in 1920 called Shostak Brothers, which was a small real estate shop leasing locations on Woodward, downtown here, on Grand River, on Gratiot, to retailers that were coming into Michigan.
And 105 years later, voila.
Here we are.
All right. The greatest day in the history of the Shostak Brothers Company was January 1976 when they hired you. Did you start as the president? What was your first role?
Oh, no. I was working at a remote site in Roseville, and I was doing maintenance.
And you're still doing maintenance.
I'm still doing maintenance. I'm good at it. But I was doing maintenance, snow removal, you know, floors. It was an enclosed mall, McCall Mall. Ultimately became the assistant manager. Had a great guy train me. Then I moved up from there.
Describe the company when you joined in 76.
We were known for retail pretty much exclusively. Brokerage, where we represented buyers and sellers in retail and other buildings. It evolved a bit over the years into office and land development. And we were known around the country. We did a lot of Kmart's development, over 40 of them across the country, a lot of them in Michigan. My grandfather actually did the first Kmart store with my dad in Garden City, Michigan. And my dad developed a relationship with Kmart over the years and were, you know, a fairly aggressive developer on their behalf. And we built shopping centers next to them.
Joe Antonini.
Before Joe Antonini. Yeah.
All right. So you've watched downtown Detroit go from a place that nobody came to, dead, to now you look down Woodward. Bobby, it's unbelievable. How has it happened, and what's amazed you the most?
So our involvement began with Dennis Archer, Mayor Archer, with Campus Martius. He selected our company in partnership with Gary Torgo at Sterling Group to be the developer of the five-block area. And so there was a vision that we had, that the city of Detroit had, that downtown Detroit and the economic development group had, that we merged together, that ultimately became the home of CompuWare, and the whole Campus Martius development was kicked off. We acquired buildings along Woodward Avenue adjacent to the Campus Martius area for redevelopment, which included apartments on the upper floors and retail at the street level. Ultimately, Dan Gilbert comes downtown and does what he's been doing magnificently in levels and understanding beyond, I think, anybody's time, you know, understanding at the time or vision at the time. And General Motors then went to the Rensen, and a lot of things began to happen. And look at what we have today. It's an unbelievable turnaround, and it's certainly got years and years ahead of more to do, but it's fantastic.
What did Mike and Marian Ilitch's role play?
Well, certainly, obviously, early on with the theaters, then the stadiums, and then now the whole district that they're developing, you know, with the next generation, which is phenomenal. So a combination of the Gilbert world and the Ilitch world and miscellaneous developers in between, smaller shops like ourselves and others that are local to the city, have done an incredible job, you know, from up here at the Fisher Building and beyond, all the way, you know, downtown to the riverfront.
Just earlier this week, Bedrock and GM announced plans to redo the Rensen. It continues.
That must be likely to be probably the most ambitious yet, because they're reimagining the riverfront to continue with the plan that Matt Cullen and others and GM came up with years ago, and now taking it to another level of taking this landmark facility that obviously hasn't met its full potential in a new Detroit that we have today, new downtown, and opening it up. It's going to be interesting to see over the next probably 5 to 10 years what that becomes, but it's clearly ambitious and probably needed, because the buildings are obsolete. They're round floor plates. They're not large enough for today's larger users. And so it's time to move off of that and join with the rest of the riverfront redevelopment. And I applaud them for having the guts and capabilities to do so.
We're talking to Bobby Shostak. He's a walking history on commercial buildings downtown Detroit. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula with Bobby Shostak. If you want to learn more, www.shostak.com. All right, today, real estate, 24 states, you and your brothers, and now the kids run it. What's been the secret sauce? How have you done it? What's the culture? What's the values?
We've been very blessed at the company. We've had key people in our executive team as well as in our overall operations that have been with us 15, 20, 25, 30, even up to 40 years now. And they have seen the company change. They saw it under my dad's leadership, and they now see it under David and Mark's leadership. And we've always had a plan to make it possible for the next generation to join us. And that's what's been the focus of my brothers and I, David and Mark, is how is it that we can continue this in an efficient and effective way? It was easier for Mark, David, and I. One dad, no uncles. David, Mark, and I being uncles to nine kids that are in the possibility of joining the company. Now, we're not going to have nine join because my son's a doctor, for example, so there's different things going on. But my son, Jeff, was the first to come into the fourth generation. So leading up to this, we did, like my dad did with us, more than a decade of planning, of determining how do you enter, on what basis, what's your responsibilities, who would you report to, what's your area of interest, including the requirement to work away from us for 5 years. So we had a culture for the family. We had a culture that paralleled what the business is. It developed great people that were proud to now take on that next generation and help train them. And we were really fortunate that we had a good set of values and a great culture and a hungry next generation to be part of this great family legacy. And so right now, my son Jeff, who's going on, I think it's 15th year of being in the business, his cousin Josh is in the business as well. And his cousin Jake is in the business managing our family office and our alternative investment activity separate from real estate. So we got a really great team of G4, as we call them, on board.
All right. You started building shopping centers, mainly Kmarts. But then you also then started to build and run restaurants. How did that come about?
So my dad's thought was that we should always be diversifying our real estate interests so we're not segmenting into one segment only, which we did with, back in the day, office buildings and land development, apartments, and so forth. But he also felt there should be another branch to the family, to our foothold. And we weren't sure what it was going to be, but a little over 35 years ago, we had an opportunity to open up a Burger King restaurant in Alpena, Michigan. And with a friend of mine, my brothers and I, from basically grade school, whose family was always in the business, restaurant and catering, joined us. And he got certified by Burger King by attending Burger King U in Miami. And we opened up our first Burger King restaurant with him. Shortly thereafter, we opened a second, a third, and bought a few from corporate and grew it and built new and bought more. And we ultimately at one point had as many as 80 Burger Kings, all in Michigan, diversified further into other brands and built what ended up being the largest privately held restaurant management company in Michigan. We had, 150 restaurants, 5 brands, and 6,000-7,000 employees, all run by my brother Mark and a management team. And that put us in the business, and we sold brands, bought brands. Today we operate Applebee's, we operate Olga's Kitchen, and one or two others that are, in a sense, phasing out.
How many Whoppers have you eaten in your life, Bobby?
I don't want to admit that. I'm sorry.
Are the fries at Burger King better than the fries at McDonald's?
It's debatable.
Okay. All right. You said, hey, we got into this 35 years ago. That was 1980, 81, when the interest rates were 17%+. Were you nuts?
Well, part of what drew us into the restaurant was this alternative activity we were looking for, where it was a business that would generate sales, all the time, whereas real estate was dependent on interest rates and affecting our growth. So it was actually a great diversification. We did very well with it over the years, and we continue to do well with it today. So it's proved its purpose by giving us another leg at the table of our businesses.
All right, speaking of restaurants, there's a lady, Olga Loizan. Mm-hmm. And she started the business over 50 years ago, couldn't get a loan. Husband had a co-sign. Olga's Kitchen. In 2015, you took that out of bankruptcy. And today, you have Olga's Kitchen, Applebee's, and we're going to talk about Mod Pizza. First, talk about Olga's Kitchen.
Olga's a great local brand, very legacy in this community. A lot of us grew up with it. A lot of us would go to college and come back and want to go to Olga's. And even people that have moved away come back to Michigan and want to go to Olga's. So it's got a really powerful name and draw. They expanded it aggressively before we came into ownership of it, and that didn't always work well. So we pared it back to a Michigan-only operation, essentially, and have, you know, a bunch of stores. We continue to innovate there. My brother Mark has a great team that's looking at ways to move the product in different ways. We're at Gold Belly, so you can get it anywhere in the United States, you know, within a day or two, as well as in supermarkets, some of the products are now being introduced. And we're closely looking at the best way to deliver the best service in what kind of format in terms of the brick and mortar side of the business. And that's always a challenge. You know, in today's world, people want things quickly, they want it easily, they want it to be hot and fresh. And so that those delivery mechanisms that the services provide, as well as what we provide over the counter, are continuously being looked at.
For a while, you owned a bunch of Boston chickens. That was the best mashed potatoes. That was as good as any mom's mashed potatoes. That one at Woodward and Square Lake. There'd be a line outside, Bobby, right. A line outside. That thing was a rocket.
Right.
Then what went wrong?
So we diversified. We had Burger King. We're looking for another brand. Boston Market at the time. Our Boston Chicken came up. They eventually renamed it Boston Market because they diversified their menu a bit. And it grew very quickly around the country, probably too fast, more than they could absorb as a corporation. And we were affected by it. So eventually we ran it in Indiana and a few here in Michigan, which was our territory. The company bought our stores back. Eventually they sold the company. I think McDonald's bought it.
All right. Mod Pizza. M-O-D pizza. What is it?
Made on demand. Thin crust pizza. You go in, it's basically three prices for the sizes. You can put whatever you want on it, select it, and it was cooked right for you there. And the problem or the challenge is a lot of these 900 degree oven inventions populated multiple brands of new startup pizza shops. Detroit probably had five different brands alone, and there are probably a dozen of them available across the country. Likewise, expansion, menu diversification, delivery process, inflationary costs, COVID, all really impacted the business, and it's in a size down mode.
We're talking to Bobby Shostak, who still has his hair, okay, through all of those issues. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Bobby Shostak. Since 2015, he's been the founder of Templer Baker Group, based in Lansing. It's a national political and business consulting firm. We'll get into that later. But the Palace of Auburn Hills. Boy, when Bill Davidson and Tom Wilson built the thing, it was legendary. Way ahead of its time. Then Tom Gorse, you know, Chris Illich can come on down, etc. You guys buy the palace in 2017. Why?
Great real estate redevelopment opportunity. Simple as that. Great intersection, interchange, great community, Auburn Hills, expansion of the automotive and related industries along I-75. And we saw that as an opportunity to bring the building down. The palace would no longer, and we would have a great corner site at the expressway with good visibility on multiple roads. So it was great real estate. We entered into a process to buy it from the Pistons, from Tom Gores and his group, Arne Tellem, and COVID hit during the demolition of it, slowed us down, stopped workage due to the governor's policies. And we kind of rode that out. And during the process of the demolition, General Motors came to us. EVs were the thing. The Orion plant was converting to electric trucks. And they gave us a proposal to build to suit a facility for them. Initially, it was close to 1 million square feet. It's now about 750,000 square feet or thereabouts. What's significant to the family about this is this was G4, my son Jeff's deal. He had the relationship with the General Motors people. He had the vision on the site. And Mark, David, and I decided that we would follow that opportunity and made arrangements to acquire it. And fortunately, Jeff was right. And today we have a certificate of occupancy issued for GM to occupy the entire process. What changed is the EVs. People that want to buy their trucks like gasoline engines. And so they converted the from EV at Orion to the traditional GM line of trucks. And the building that we were building for them had to likewise get modified to not do EV assembly and part layouts, but to put forward the new design of the trucks. And interestingly, a very famous piston, Vinnie Johnson, and his company, Piston Automotive, is the subtenant of General Motors, if that's the correct way to refer to it, as the operating within the plant that we've built once it's open.
He may be the richest person who ever played in the NBA alive today. Just possible. Okay.
Perhaps.
Be careful what you pray for in life. So you decide in 2011 to run to become party chairman for the Michigan Republican Party. And you win. Be careful what you pray for. Why'd you do it?
So I've always been interested in politics, not to run for office, but my involvement with campaigns, with leaders that were in office. It started actually through the business of me working on behalf of the family on city council approvals, planning commission approvals, county commission approvals, really in the city of Livonia. You know, I go way back with Mike Duggan 40 years ago doing this. And Ed McNamara and that, Dave Katz and that whole crew. And my involvement in helping Livonia in our development side and being involved with them in their various political activities, supporting people there, more or less gave me the bug. And I got involved in Governor Engler's campaign, Spencer Abraham's campaign, Dick DeVos for governor, and soon I get sort of noticed by the national players. And Jim Nicholson, PBS Chemicals, was the state chairman for McCain for president when McCain ran against Obama. And Jim asked me to chair Southeast Michigan for McCain for president, which was a real honor. And I felt, you know, really tremendously grateful for Jim giving me that opportunity. Ron Weiser was the national finance co-chair. I really didn't know Ron back then, met him. Subsequently, after McCain lost to President Obama, Ron asked me to help him with his efforts to become the next party chair at the Republican Party. And his goal was, we were under the Granholm era, and was referred to our lost decade. And Ron wanted to help get Republicans elected, and he asked me to be his finance chair.
In 2014, you raised $30 million, played a huge role in getting Rick Snyder, governor, Secretary of State Johnson, Attorney General Schuette. Talk about Rick Snyder, his mantra, relentless positive action.
So Rick Snyder supported me to become the next party chair. I ran for office when he was elected and got the support of the state delegates, totally new to me. I've not been a college Republican activist or a county chair or a district chair. It was the Tea Party era. I had to meet a lot of new people, travel the state, get elected, and then raise money. I knew what I didn't know, just like any business person would. And I put together the best team I could find in the country and hired them to move to Michigan. And they helped run the day-to-day as I went out and raised the money. Rick Snyder was there for an entirely non-political reason. He wanted to fix Michigan and get it reinvented and get new direction for the state. And I worked closely with his team and, of course, with him. He was, you know, the nerd, hire
yes.
a nerd,
yes.
and focused on solving problems and setting Michigan up for the future. And it was really an honor to be a part of him. Rick and I are still very good friends today. We communicate often, and we have a great friendship.
Let's go back to 2012. You're at the Oakland County Republican Party Lincoln Dinner, and you're sitting next to a guy. Who was he?
Donald J. Trump, at the time, was not running for president, rumored that he might, and he was the featured speaker at that Lincoln Day dinner at Suburban Showplace in Novi. And there was like 10 of us at the table. Mr. Trump was sitting next to me. I'd never met him before. We get into casual conversation. People are coming up, wanting to shake his hand, do a picture, just, you know, doing what people do. And all of the speakers at the table, you know, it was the mayor, it was the governor, it was, you know, county leadership, et cetera. Each had a speaking role, as did I. And Mr. Trump was the final speaker. Each of them finished their speeches and then went and circulated within the room, talking to their friends and constituents. Ultimately, Donald Trump and I were the only two at the table for about an hour, waiting for, you know, dinner to be completed and for him to go up and speak. And we got into a pretty deep conversation. He was very interested in Detroit, how it was doing, the city, the downtown, the casinos. He was very interested in our family and our business, how it is that my dad brought my brothers and I into the business and the fact that we were moving towards G4 at the time. And he was very curious. And we had really a very enjoyable conversation. And at the end of the call, or end of the discussion, before he went to the stage, he pulled out his business card of his executive assistant and circled a phone number on there. He said, if you're ever in New York and need anything, they'll take care of you. And we bid each other farewell. I reminded him of the story when he ran the first time at a roundtable I did for him in Washington during COVID, where Lauren Ricult and I chaired it, and we raised money for him by bringing Detroiters to Washington for an event.
Without Bobby Shostak, there ain't no Trumpster.
I'm not
half
sure.
The people say that would be awful. Half the other people say that would be great.
I'm not sure.
All right, we got to go. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Krasula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble.
The great Ernie Harwell.
My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
And the voices of our generation.
I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis.
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Bobby Shostak, www.shostak.com. All right, another initiative. Mad Dog Technology Venture Fund.
Yep.
What is it?
So Pete had a vision, Pete Carmanos, who had retired from CompuWare, but he wasn't retiring, to build cloud-based solutions and to continue active in the business. And at the same time, had a vision that we would create a venture capital fund, that he would be a general partner along with myself. So in 2015, when I left the state party, I went around, caught up with a number of people that I had worked with in the past, and Pete was one of them. And he said, why don't you join me, and we will look at what we're doing here. You'll help us with introductions because of my network, and we'll see where it goes. And then within a year, he said, let's do this fund together. So we established a $30 to $50 million goal. We raised $30. We opened the fund, Mad Dog Venture Fund number one. We had many investors, probably about 25 different investors that made up the fund. And we went to, and invested in 11 companies, of which nine remained after several years getting through COVID. One has since shut down. One, we had a successful exit just a month ago called Freight Verify. And we have five or six remaining that are in reasonably good shape that we're optimistic about.
Peter Carmanos built CompuWare. He funded Carmanos Cancer Institute, named after his late wife, Barbara Ann. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame. He owns the Carolina Hurricanes. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Unbelievable. But his biggest achievement was being in business with Bobby Shostak. Okay, let's go back. 2020, 100th anniversary of the company. What did you do that was unique?
So my brothers and I have been to many big celebrations of companies here in the Detroit area and beyond. And everybody has a wonderful party, invites hundreds and hundreds, perhaps 1,000 guests, their bankers, their lawyers, their clients, etc. And you basically have about 10 to 20 seconds to say hello to as many people as you can. And it's over with in a flash. We decided to do something different than actually my brother David suggested, which was rather than spend, you know, $1 million on an event to entertain people, why don't we take the same dollars and find charities, which is part of our family's heritage, it's part of our Jewish community, to give back. And all the big charities, all the big needs through United Foundation, what have you, are covered amply. And so we set out to find small, mid-size, local, Detroit-based urban charities and got recommendations, got submissions for grants, what have you. And we picked charities that we thought we could make an impact on with, you know, a $100,000 donation, by example, picked 10 of them and celebrated the year of our 100th year by having our associates in the office and ourselves go to those charities for a day, assist ongoing if they asked us to, and made a contribution so that it would be impactful to them, different than us just having a nice celebration, patting ourselves on the back. And there's nothing wrong with that because you want to acknowledge your successes and acknowledge the people around you that have made you successful. But this was a way to do it very internally within the family of businesses and our associates at Shostak Brothers.
All right, let's talk about a couple of them. Pastor Faith Fowler.
So Faith was running Cass Community Social Services and making it possible for home ownership with these micro-sized homes for low-income families. And we know that she was getting modest grants, and we thought that we could participate and really help accelerate the program. We met her. We were excited about her. We felt that she was doing the right things for home ownership, obviously connected to real estate with us. Great, great fit.
All right. The Hillel School, H-I-L-L-E-L School.
So Hillel Day School in Farmington Hills is a school that my brothers and I, four of us, all attended. My mother at a time was the president of the school. Later in life, I became president of the school. Our family has been philanthropically involved with the school. The campus is named in honor of our family because of the work we've done, the donations we've made, and the leadership we've provided. Our kids are in the school, so there's now the third generation. And there's actually some documentation that for something like close to 40 years, there's been a Shostak family member in this school. So we're very proud of it.
You're the smartest one they ever had.
I'm not so sure about that.
All right. Chris Lambert, Life Remodeled.
Another great example of how we could deploy our philanthropic dollars to celebrate our 100th year. The work they do at Life Remodeled in helping the next generation get, you know, situated in the city. They were taking over schools, rebuilding them, repurposing them, turning them into community centers. And it was just a great opportunity for us to be involved with them. We love the work they're doing in the city. And again, it's another example that you have great things going on in the core of downtown. You have improvements coming upstream here, you know, towards Fisher Building and beyond. But as you branch out into the neighborhoods, there's a lot of small groups doing a lot of great good, but they're undercapitalized. And so we felt that this was a way for us to make a difference.
We're talking to Bobby Shostak from 2021 to 2024. He was the board chair of Oakland University Board of Trustees, Dr. Aura Peskovitz, and our mutual friend, Coach Campy.
Oakland's great. I graduated from there. It served a great purpose in my life when I was working and going to college. Rick Snyder was good enough, Governor Snyder, to appoint me to the board. I served almost 11 and a half years. I was board chair for four or five of those years. I was part of the hiring process of Aura Peskovitz and her basically cabinet. And we have a great relationship, a great friendship. She's doing a wonderful job at the university. Nancy and I have been supporting many programs there. Our family's supporting the med school there, my brothers and I and my dad. And so we're, you know, we're really, it's a special place for me. It really is.
And you are a special mensch, Bobby Shostak.
I appreciate
it. Thank you for all you do. Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohn.
Believe in yourself.